the people who have been able to keep up with and process the Trump storyline effectively are the people who understand celebrity gossip, because this is a celebrity president.
The 2020 Network is brought to you by Interac. Interac connects everyone to the limitless possibilities of digital payments. Whether you are sending, receiving, or requesting money, using Interac Debit to pay by card, phone, or smartwatch, or looking for a business payment solution, they provide fast, convenient, and secure access to your own money. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Quality Content on the 2020 Network presented by Interac. I am your host, Alex Patterson. Today on the show, we are talking about gossip. And to do that, I am joined by Elaine Louie, better known to her readers as Lainey Gossip. Her blog of the same name is now 15 years old and attracts millions of monthly visitors from across Canada and around the world. She reports for CTV's eTalk and also hosts The Social. She's an author, a speaker, and a proud gossip evangelist, and she joins me from Toronto. Hey, Lainey.
Hello.
It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I want to start with something you said in the past, which as far as I can see is as close to like a guiding thesis statement for your work, which is the idea that gossip is anthropology. And it says more about those who consume it than those that it's about. So let's unpack that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that gossip happens always in conversation. So you can't gossip in a monologue. Gossip is always information that's exchanged. And so what it is a form of communication. And when we're communicating with people, we're exchanging ideas. We're letting them know what we stand for, what we don't stand for, what we think of certain issues, what bothers us, what we get off on, what turns us on. So to say that gossip is anthropology, what I mean is that gossip, as is any form of communication, helps us understand ourselves. And I think that's, someone correct me if I'm wrong, is what anthropology is.
That sounds about right. That does.
Right? It's the understanding of who we are socially in the present, but later on, they're going to look back on what we gossiped about to understand who we were in the past.
Right. And so, the next question, though, is if gossip says more about us, then I have to wonder, who are we? Like, in your experience, in your line of work, with the work that you do and what you cover, what do we as a modern culture of consumers, what do we care about? What does our gossip say about us right now?
Well, that's a big question, and especially is... It's a big question right now, as legitimate news sources continue to be undermined, as people continue to doubt authority and government. I think what it says about us right now is that there is a lack of trust in each other, in institutions, and in the future.
What I wonder is there a big difference between what you do and what like a beat reporter for the press gallery here covering the Hill does? Is it just a matter of content or your delivery mechanism? Or is it somehow a sense that we just hold politics in higher esteem than we do just sort of like celebrity gossip?
Well, part of it is that, but part of it is that I do think it's two different conversations that are definitely connected. And what I mean by that is you have reporters on the Hill who are understanding policies and the debate around what laws to put in. Mm-hmm. And let's say, for example, it's the healthcare or childcare debate, right? And so you're going to have people in government saying, what is the best way for us to lay down some sort of childcare policy across the board federally where the government gives a certain subsidy to these families and those families and how much those subsidies are and who can use them and who takes time off? That's what reporters on the Hill are investigating and talking to politicians about. What I'm doing on my end is I'm having the conversations, and it may be via celebrity, about people's attitudes about childcare. And these are the people who those policies would affect. Let's say that I'm talking about X celebrity who has three nannies. And the conversation that happens when we gossip about that celebrity is, well, of course she looks so good. She has three nannies. Of course she has time to go to the gym. Of course she has time to eat healthy. You know what I don't have? I don't have three nannies, so I can't go to the gym. I can't eat well. I'm too busy driving my kids around in the minivan because I don't have enough money to support the fact that I work and send my kids to daycare and my husband just lost his job and this, that, and the other, and my property tax just went up. And these are my attitudes about what the home, what we're facing in the home. Does that make sense?
No, it's interesting because it provides the connective tissue. We tend to think about these as, you know, different siloed conversations, but they're not.
They're not. It's almost abstract on the Hill, where you're looking at policies and you're trying to make decisions for so many people that you can't really get into the nitty-gritty of how those policies are going to affect people on the ground. And what I do with gossip through the lens of celebrity is to really extract many people's opinions on what they think about childcare, what they think about these policies, how is it working for them? Like when we're criticizing a celebrity for, I don't know, bitching too much about paparazzi photos or criticizing a celebrity for, I don't know, going on tour and spending too much time in the studio and where are their kids, what we're getting is a reflection of their social attitudes and their moral attitudes, really, about what family should look like and how family should function.
You know, in the past, you have talked about celebrity as an ecosystem. And a lot of the words that you use to describe the celebrity ecosystem or the elements of a celebrity ecosystem, you could scrub celebrity and you could, you know, insert politician of how marketable are they? How saleable are they? You know, the host of people around them that usher them through their career into their success points. You know, how do you, like taking a look at, you know, our modern day politics, I'm thinking of one in particular individual more than others. You know, is there anything that you are seeing? Are you noticing more and more celebrity style patterns embedded in our politics in terms of the ecosystem around these personalities that we elect?
Oh, for sure. I think the easiest way or the most obvious sign of it is in social media. And is in media presentation. I remember a few months ago, and you'll have to, I mean, you're going to have the facts and drill down in the details more than I will. But a few months ago, Jagmeet Singh invited all kinds of members of the press to come to his engagement.
Yes, he did.
And I looked at that and I was like, well, this is a celebrity move. That's kind of a game changer. I mean, typically that is something that you do in private or you have your friends and family there and then you let the press know about it later, right?
Well, no, it's so funny. It's so funny because I remember that moment and like a lot of the, like, you know, I would say small C conservative people here were really grumbling that's not traditional. That seems out of character and not our usual way that politics is supposed to be done.
It's not the usual Canadian way, I would say, but I think more and more with the introduction of social media into our lives, politicians are considering or at least acknowledging that the personal and professional is going to be blurred. Like it or not, and I think as Canadians, we like to think that for sure we can keep that separate, that the theater of American politics does not apply to us. But I don't think that that holds anymore. I think that we want to know what these politicians are doing, maybe not in the nitty-gritty of their personal time, but certainly as it relates to their roles, the roles that they play in their family, in relationship to the roles that they play on the political stage, that is becoming more and more married, for not to drive home the pun, but that is becoming more and more married. And yeah, we can grumble all we want about how that's not the Canadian way, but like it or not, the Canadian way is to live on Facebook, is to live on social media, is to live on Instagram. And certainly it's the Canadian way for a younger group of voters. Everybody is talking about engagement and making sure that millennials vote, making sure that people who are teenagers right now get involved and are civic minded. Well, guess what? These people were raised and are being raised on social media. You're going to have to take it to them where they live. And that's why Jagmeet Singh did what he did. And you can grumble about it all you want, but you can't change the wave.
So you started your website in 15 years ago, and it was at this moment when I don't necessarily think that the culture of a blog was as established as you helped make it. And certainly it was the start of, I think, you know, a technological revolution online that really transformed the way that we receive our news, the way that we consume information. And so I'm just wondering, I mean, you've been doing this for about, you know, 15 years now. What are the big trends and the big changes that you have seen that, you know, you yourself have had to adapt?
Well, I would say that, you know, I feel worried just like everybody else does that people don't go for the follow-up. From the very beginning of Lainey Gossip, I've always said, yeah, I might be gossiping about celebrities, but it doesn't mean that I didn't put work into this, that I'm not fact-checking the stories, that I'm not just, you know, posting whatever tip that comes in my door, that I'm not doing follow-up stories. You know, let's say that whatever magazine reported that these two broke up yesterday and then they ended up getting paparazzi 2 days later, I'm going to show you those new paparazzi photos so that we can have an update. And I think what I worry about now, and I don't think I'm unique in this, is that we see the initial break, like this person did this, or this is what's happened, and it comes up on your feed and Twitter and Facebook, but you don't go for the follow-up.
Right.
And you don't follow up 2 days later to look at the retraction or look at more evidence that supports the original story. And so we're constantly having to, at least on our site, remind people like, hey, this source is kind of shady. This magazine isn't so good. Like what we do is also curate gossip news.
Right.
So
yep.
Australian magazines are kind of shitty. This is a reliable source. Here's a reason why this story might hold some water. Here's why I'm not really paying attention to this story. And it can be frustrating even on my end, even though like I love scandal and gossip. Oh my God. Like, you know, I'm not ever going to complain about, scandalous stories. It's just that I want them to be true. Most recently what happened, and this is a merging of gossip and real news, is last Friday on Twitter, it started circulating that Prince Philip had died. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah, it was one of those like, well, of course I'm going to click on that trending topic. Like, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
And it started snowballing, and it was all like, I've just heard from a media source, or my wife works with a media source, or just heard from someone who goes to school with another kid and their father is in the media, or whatever, that the palace will be announcing at 5 o'clock today that Prince Philip has passed away. So it kind of got so outrageous, and people were like, this is true, and people were waiting for it, that like, even though I had called my own palace source, and my palace source was like, no, he's fine, he's alive, I started thinking to myself, oh my God, is my source wrong? Like, at 5 mm-hmm. o'clock, is something going to happen? Because this just ended up going so viral. So these are the things that make me crazy, because, and make the people inside crazy, because we have all done our due diligence. We've called the people we need to call. Nothing was going to happen. And yet there were people who were like insisting that at 5 o'clock there was going to be a press release. And it happened like 3 weeks before that with the Beckhams, where the same thing, Beckham divorce imminent, announcement happening at 5 today, to the point where they had to issue their statement saying, we are not divorcing. But a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend heard from a media source, which is typically how we gossip. But when you dump it on Twitter right away, it gets thousands and millions of people believing it before you can actually go to somebody and be like, hey, can we pull up the reins on this? Because this is a waste of everybody's time.
So, I mean, the parallel that I see there, I mean, I really dislike using the term fake news. Like, I actually think that it normalized something that should not be normalized. But, you know, the parallel that I see there is politically, misinformation tends to have a purpose, right? It gets weaponized and someone benefits from it. In your world, something like that, like, who does that benefit? Where does that, what does that do other than just create sort of like a giddy theater to it all?
Well, I think that has become a gray area too. You know, in the past, in Hollywood, for example, and I gossip about celebrities, you used to have fixers. It's a very famous thing. I mean, like Ray Donovan is a fixer, right? And you used to have fixers, publicists and managers. This is like 40 or 50 years ago, who would leak a story, or at least throw up some razzle dazzle to camouflage a story. And so that's what started really the modern gossip industry back when I started, because we were tired of the PR bullshit where you'd float a set of photos, you'd razzle dazzle the public, and it would kind of hide the secret that they didn't want to get out. Nowadays though, I don't know what the benefit is except to just confuse everybody and further something that is much more sinister. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I suppose, you know, a follow-up would be, though, about the idea of scandal and the concept of stickiness, right? You can find a lot of the same DNA embedded in both celebrity scandal and political scandal. The conversation tends to be, you know, how will this impact their career? You know, be it a movie opening or an election day, you know, vote. We're obsessed with the idea of what sticks and what doesn't. So I'm wondering if you have any lessons from the celebrity world that might help us explain why some scandals don't stick.
Well, here's where I'm going to pull out my feminist card.
I thought you might. And I think legitimately let's talk about President Trump is on his, what, 12th scandal that was supposed to completely torpedo his political career. And yet here we are. So, you know, let's unpack that a little bit.
Well, you say 12 and I say, is that it?
good point. Very good point.
So the parallel to that in Hollywood would be that, for instance, you have someone like Johnny Depp, who just went to Comic-Con and was very warmly received for his role in Fantastic Beasts, the sequel. And he, of course, has been embroiled in 2 years and counting of scandal and controversy, one of those being the fact that he allegedly abused his ex-wife Amber Heard. There were photos, there were court documents in their settlement. Like, she so wanted nothing to do with him that she donated the $7 million settlement that she got out of their divorce. Like, how many people do you know say, no, sorry, I don't want this $7 million because this guy beat me? And still he gets job after job after job, and still he's so warmly received. And it is especially notable because we are supposedly in the Time's Up Me Too movement, right? This isn't 10 years ago. This is right now. After Harvey Weinstein, it was supposed to be a watershed moment for Hollywood where they weren't standing for this anymore, that, you know, they were advocating for the rights of women. And yet at Comic-Con on the Warner Brothers panel, they had both Johnny Depp and then a short while later, Amber Heard coming out to represent Aquaman. That just feels like such a slap in the face, but also it really, really makes everybody confused about what we're supposed to believe in. Are we supposed to, like, say that's it, time's up, me too? Or are we supposed to be like, oh, Johnny Depp, he's such a great actor, and he was so beautiful before, and my, you know, my Hollywood crush, my Hollywood icon, so I'm just gonna let that one slide? And I guess, how can you not let it slide when the person who occupies the most powerful office in the world is still in there, because nothing apparently can bring him down?
Yeah, and that's what I find so perplexing, and I know a lot of people don't have answers, because it seems like every new one is the one that the tide sort of creeps up, and it's like, okay, this is the one that's really going to do it. You know, he's the Access Hollywood tape. It was like, he's totally unelectable, and everyone just shrugged it off. And when he made fun of a reporter for his disability, absolutely call, you know, he's in no way is he going to win. And then successively, during his time as president, seems to be continually stepping on landmines. A lot of them are self-inflicted. And still, it seems to be – nothing seems to stick. And what I worry about that is that it's sending a message to aspiring politicians, the totally wrong message, which is, doesn't matter. Put your head down. Keep going. Don't apologize.
I think that I get caught up in that undeniably nihilistic, defeatist attitude too. How can you not, right?
Totally.
And yet, where I want to remain hopeful is that this conversation about misogyny and about toxic masculinity really gained momentum out of Hollywood gossip. People had been gossiping for years on the Hollywood circuit about Harvey Weinstein. And when he was brought down last October and kicked off like a really, really strong wave of we won't stand for this anymore, that Hollywood conversation permeated so many other industries and so many other fields. And it went back into politics, even our own politics here in Canada. And so to go back to what we started talking about how Hollywood gossip and gossip in general can inform our social and political and cultural landscape, I'm hopeful that now that these conversations are conversations that we can actually have on the air and have out in the open without using a whisper network, for the most part, maybe that will inform a new generation of voter and women, young women and men who are out there getting sort of redirected and re-educated, and the DNA is getting like rebuilt. Some people are write-offs, like we won't be able to save them.
That's fair.
But I'm thinking about like the 15-year-old kids out there who are now, they can't escape this conversation, and the 15-year-old girls who are empowered to say no and to step up. One day they're going to want to run for office. Look at those kids in Parkland in Florida, like how they did so much that adults couldn't do. I want to believe that. And so what I'm trying to say is I don't think change is immediate, and in my lifetime I might not be able to see it, but I'm really hoping that, you know, as we continue to push these conversations, at some point we'll see that change.
I'll end on this. You know, we talked about Me Too. We talked about that common cause across industries, whether it be entertainment, business, politics. I mean, to a lesser extent, sports, but, you know, that's a whole other podcast. You know, where those open networks open secrets and gossip networks about men who use their power structures to their advantage actually come to light. You know, I am wondering if you've seen a transformation in the attitude of where a legitimate story that actually causes where it can originate from. You know, if it doesn't always have to be the New York Times, you know, columnist or reporter who breaks something. There's a whole host of tools and you know, media outlets out there. Has there been a shift in the perception of good quality reporting, whether it be a gossip blog or whether it be the New York Times? They can accomplish the same goal.
Well, I don't want to sound too Mary Sunshine. That's typically not me. I don't know what you're doing to me today. but I do think that one bonus that's come out of this is that it's made everybody elevate their game. And I don't think that is a bad thing. Where when the media is challenged, there are certain reporters and certain people who are rising up. And they're delivering really, really solid work. I will also say that in this moment, what I think is kind of ironic is that, especially in American politics, the people who have been able to keep up with and process the Trump storyline effectively are the people who understand celebrity gossip, because this is a celebrity president. So his news cycles and the way that he has driven information and misinformation has been exactly the way tabloid journalism has operated. So if you have been a student of celebrity gossip and you understand the National Enquirer and you know Star Magazine and you know what TMZ is all about, you can see his moves and you can analyze those moves. And those are the people who've been like a step ahead of it. There's a reporter, her name is Anne Helen Peterson. She writes for BuzzFeed. She has a PhD, as she says, in celebrity gossip. And she now does both. She goes to Trump rallies to report on what's going on in that arena while writing 3,000-word think pieces on Gwen Stefani, because she has studied the media landscape both politically and pop culturally. I think the people who got left behind are the ones who didn't understand how new media is working now. There's no such thing as one kind of media and the other kind of media anymore. So I don't know if that is an argument in favor of my profession, but I will say that you cannot delineate between the two anymore. And the best ones to follow are the ones who really have a good understanding of that.
I mean, I would say that's a ringing endorsement of your profession. I think that's a great way to leave it. Lainey, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people, if they aren't already following you, where can they find you online?
LaineyGossip.com. And it's the same handle for Twitter and Instagram. And you can watch me on The Social and eTalk.
Lainey, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
The 2020 Network is brought to you by Interac. Interac connects everyone to the limitless possibilities of digital payments. Whether you are sending, receiving, or requesting money, using Interac Debit to pay by card, phone, or smartwatch, or looking for a business payment solution, they provide fast, convenient, and secure access to your own money.